Welcome to Marksmen, a podcast for men who have been marked by Christ and who are aiming their lives at Christ likeness. I'm Mark Spellman, your host, and so glad you joined me today. I want to invite you to reach out to your friends, reach out to your buddies, share this podcast, whether you're watching on YouTube, whether you're listening on some podcast platform, share this with your buddies. Let's get more guys sitting around the table. Let's get more guys in the conversation. I want to encourage you to do that and invite you to do that. It's an honor to come into your life just for a short time and just find encouragement from the scripture and with the help of the Holy Spirit, just help us aim our lives and really measure our lives by Jesus Christ and allow the grace of the Holy Spirit, His presence in our life, to guide us and lead us into more of a Christ-like life. Amen. What a joy, what a privilege. And so I want to always begin, well, not always, but I want to begin today in Philippians chapter 3. And if you've watched many Marksmen, we do go here quite a bit because this is the foundation. This is the very taproot of what this podcast and the mission of this podcast is. And it's found in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 12. And I'm going to be reading kind of back and forth between the King James and the Amplified. Starting in the King James, it says this, "Not as though I have already attained, either am already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Now let me share that with you in the Amplified, because this is an important thing that I want to just launch into today's conversation about. He says this, Amplified says, "Not that I have now attained this ideal." And of course, what is the ideal? You know, it's Christ-likeness. We want to be just like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:49 says, "Just like we bore the image of the man of dust, the first Adam, we will bear the image of the heavenly man, Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. And so we're called to that. We're destined to that. Romans 8:31 says, "We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." So it's our destiny. It's our calling. It's not some hype that we're just trying to, well, let's just see if we can do that. We're called to it. It's an invitation of Scripture. It's an invitation by God to come and be transformed, be transfigured into the very image and likeness of Jesus Christ and the life that He modeled. And so here's what it says. Not that I've now attained or totally arrived. In other words, there's an element of humility we all have to have. It's not an excuse to not try. It's not an excuse to not aim at the bullseye, but we do need to realize none of us have arrived. I've not arrived. You've not arrived. But again, that's, again, not to excuse the maximum effort. That's not to excuse aiming at the bullseye of Christ's likeness, but it is a sober measure that none of us have arrived. Paul didn't arrive. None of us have arrived, but we keep pressing, and that's what he gets into in just a moment. "Not that I've now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect or fully matured, but I press on to lay hold of, to grasp, to make my own that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me His own." So notice this. He says, "I press on to lay hold of, to grasp and make my own." I want to encourage you today, men. There's things that we have to make our own. It's good to be inspired by another man's life, another man following Christ. You know, Paul himself said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." It's a biblical thing that we do. We have mentors in our life. We have godly men in our life that we follow their example. Their life inspires us. Their life encourages us. Their life and their relationship is a supply and a strength to us. And that's by design. That's godly. That's a right thing. But that doesn't replace that we have to then make our own the things that we're seeing, the things that we're learning, the things that are modeled for us. Jesus Christ himself gave his life not just as a ransom, not just as a sacrifice, and I don't mean that to belittle that measure of what he did, but that wasn't his only goal and purpose. He laid his life down, yes, as a sacrifice, yes, as the Lamb of God, but he lived his life, even in laying it down, as an example to you and I of how we live this life and why we're given life. Why do we have breath? In other words, at the very end of this verse, why did he lay hold of me? Why did he want to make me his own? There's a reason God gave me breath. There's a reason Jesus laid down his life and let his blood be shed to redeem my life. There's a reason for that. There's a reason he laid hold of me and you and I, so that we can now discover with his help the purpose he has for our life. And that's what this verse really is drilling down into. Hopefully it's an inspiration to you today, an encouragement to you today, that he's saying, not that I've arrived, I haven't fully arrived and attained this ideal, I'm not fully perfect or mature, but I press on. And that's what I want to encourage you with today, men. We must keep pressing on. We all face discouragement. We all face setbacks. We all stumble, right? We all stumble and make mistakes. We say things we wish we wouldn't have said. We do things we wish we didn't do. And thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for 1 John 1:9 that we can confess our sin. And he's faithful and he's just to forgive us. He's not only faithful in his nature is to forgive, but he's just. In other words, it's an act of justice that his forgiving you and I is not just him saying, well, I act like I didn't see that. We'll let you by on that one this time. No, it's absolute justice for him, because the price was paid. An innocent man died for the guilty. A sinless man died for sinful men. It's an act of absolute justice. No justice is being skewed. The cross, I love to, if you can imagine just in your mind's eye, an image of a cross. You got the cross beam and you got the vertical stand. You know, the cross is the perfect blend of mercy and justice, love and justice, compassion and justice. See, God doesn't violate his love to be just, and he doesn't violate his justice to be love. That's why those angels are flying around that throne right now as we're having this communication, and they're crying out, holy, holy, holy. I mean, the perfection of how his justice never violates his mercy. His mercy never violates his justice. They are one. And so when God forgives us and we confess our sin, it's not when he's finding out what we did. No, he knows what we've done. He knows what we're going to do. And the price has been paid for everything to be forgiven. And that doesn't make it cheap. That makes it very expensive, very costly. And so when we come to God based on 1 John 1:9, we ask him to forgive us, ask him to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. That is an exchange. That is a very precious exchange. And I wanted to share this today, because this was in my spirit when I was praying about sharing with you men today, this issue of repenting. Because if we're going to keep pressing, like Scripture admonishes us, like Paul admonishes us, if we're going to have to keep pressing, then we're going to have to learn to deal with discouragement. We're going to have to learn to deal with when we fail, when we miss it, when we fall short, when we stumble. Let's be honest, when we rebel, we're disobedient, and then we come to faith and Holy Spirit convicts us. You know, the Holy Spirit convicts us of what we do, but then he also is active to comfort us. He's not only the one bringing conviction, but he's going to be the one that brings comfort. And there's a scripture that you've probably heard before, and it's Nehemiah 8, verse 10. And it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Have you quoted that verse in your life? Have you heard that verse? You've seen it on a refrigerator magnet or maybe a picture, you know, hanging on a wall somewhere. It's true. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But do you know the backstory on that verse? Have you ever looked into it? The backstory on that verse is the people of God had been in rebellion for a long time. They had not kept the ways of God. They have not kept the ordinance of God. They had not kept the law of God. They had gotten away from His word. They had gotten away from His ways. And now Nehemiah and others, and Ezra was there during that time, Ezra the priest, they began to bring the people back to the Lord by bringing them back to the scripture, to the holy written word, the commandment, the law, the ordinances of God. They were bringing God's people back. So it was a time of repentance. It was a time of repentance. And so in doing that, when they were coming back to the Lord, by coming back to the word and the ways of God, there was a commandment given. This is so powerful. And God commanded them. He said, I don't want you to be sad. I don't want this to be a sad day. I want this to be a day of rejoicing. I want this to be a day of gladness. I want this to be a day of happiness. Now think about that. When we've done wrong, what's one of the main emotions sometimes we're just overwhelmed with? Well, it's sadness, it's regret, it's remorse. And don't you know they were dealing with those feelings? They had those same feelings that you and I have, feelings of regret, feelings of remorse, feelings of sadness, and yet God was giving them a command. I encourage you, man, go back and read Nehemiah chapter 8 and just read a couple chapters before and read the chapter after. Just catch the context of this. It's so very powerful, and it's life-changing, and it's liberating when you realize that repentance is not just regret. In fact, regret is it's like a fake or false repentance. It's an emotion that is there. We have regret, we have remorse, we have sadness, but it doesn't equal repentance. It's not what repentance is. Repentance is change. And if we are changing, that should make us happy. Changing makes God happy because we're going from glory to glory and from grace to grace. How many have heard that before, men? Heard that analogy? Going from glory to glory, going from grace to grace. Well, that's change. That's progress. But it only comes through repentance. It only comes as we continue to press and we don't stop pressing. We don't get discouraged when we fall. We don't get discouraged when we stumble and we miss it. No, we own up to it. We face what we've done. If it's involved other people, we make it right with them. We're honest with them. But it's not about just feeling bad and having remorse and having regret and just beating ourselves up, you know, over what we've done. Because a lot of times I've found that the enemy, you know, he starts thumping us for what we've done. And I'd be the first to admit, sometimes I've taken the hammer myself and I've continued to beat myself up for what I've done. And that does nothing towards change. In fact, it hinders my change. It hinders me continuing to press to do what Philippians 3:12 says, to lay hold of that for which he laid hold of me. It totally slows me down. It sets me back. So I encourage you to dig into Nehemiah chapter 8. Dig into like around verse 10 there where he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The context of that was the people of God repenting, coming back to the word. They were hearing the word of God taught by the priest. They were being convicted in their heart. They begin to yield to that sadness, that remorse, and that regret, and then they get corrected by the priest, and the priest says, no, the Lord says, today's a day of rejoicing, today's a day of gladness, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Man, that's powerful. And I hope that maybe redefines for your heart and for your maybe your understanding of what God even wants from us. You know, because men, we have to be able to keep pressing. I mean, it's one thing to read it and me to cheer you on in it, but in the day-to-day living it out, the day-to-day walking it out, we're going to face discouragement. We're going to face mistakes we make. You've probably heard this on Marksman if you've heard any of these podcasts. You know, when I was in high school, I had a, I remember this was in eighth grade, my first year playing high school, and I was playing running back, and my coach, Coach Ferguson, God bless him, Coach Ferguson, you know, I was being coached as I should have been, but, you know, one thing that he told me, he said, Spellman, he said, when you're going down, I want you to get me one more yard. In other words, I don't want you falling backwards. I want you falling forward. Now think about that in life. If we stumble, if we go down, think about the mindset. At least fall forward. At least fall forward. At least get some yardage out of it. Learn something from it. Grow from it. In fact, the Lord spoke that to my heart a while back, and I put it out on social media. Don't just go through things. Grow through things. I'm going to say that again. Don't just go through things. Grow through things. And that was a word of the Lord to me. That's why I wanted to share it and put it out on social media. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. But I'm sharing it with you today. Don't just go through things. Grow through things. Press and keep on pressing. Realize that when you go through things and you deal with those real emotions, regret, remorse, sadness over what you've done, you know, a godly contriteness, it's there. But then yield and allow Holy Spirit to fully comfort you and bring to your heart the joy that you're growing, the joy of becoming, the joy that you're being transformed, transfigured into the image of Christ's likeness, and you're more like Him today than you were yesterday. And so that's just kind of where we're going to maybe work towards winding up here today. There's a lot more I can say on this, and probably going to pick it up on the next Marksman podcast. Hope you can join me. Make plans to join me. But again, let me just read Philippians 3, verse 12 in the Amplified. Not that I've now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect or fully mature, but I press on to lay hold of and to grasp and to make it my own. Make it your own, men. Things that you're seeing in other men's lives, godly men, be inspired, be encouraged, but make them your own. Make a life of prayer your own. Make a life in the Word your own. Make a life serving in ministry, whatever realm that would be, because we're all ministers. Make it your own. He said, I make it my own so that I, that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah laid hold of me and made me His own. There's a reason Jesus laid His life down for you. And there's something that only He knows about your life. And just like Peter got a revelation, Jesus, you're the Christ. You're the Son of God. And then Jesus said, and you are Peter. I'm calling you not Simon, but Peter. He renamed him, gave him a new identity. And just like that for you and I, men, when you get a revelation of Jesus Christ, He's going to begin talking to you. He's going to begin showing you. He's going to begin revealing to you who you are, what you're called to do, what your life is for, why He gave you breath, why He gave you the gifts and the talents and the abilities, things that just come natural to you that don't come natural to other men. There's a reason for it. And He's going to show you how it can glorify His kingdom, how it can grow His kingdom and His family, how you can be a blessing with the gifts and talents and graces He's given you. Amen. Well, I'm praying for you, men. It's a joy to be with you on Marksman. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation today. Hope you'll share this on your social media. Copy, paste these links, whether it's in Spotify, on podcast platforms, or it's a YouTube link. Share it with your brothers in Christ. Let's get more guys in the conversation. Let's get more guys aiming their lives at Christ likeness.